Welcome to your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for St. John WA. Save 000 for emergencies.
We're just waiting to be connected with Natalie Barr.
On the red carpet.
Of the Oscars. She's been swanning it, rubbernecking with the stars.
Your feet are going to hurt so much. You're going to be shocked at how much your feet hurt. People have bad breath. That's going to be interesting.
That's Jamie Lee Curtis giving her some advice about what to expect being there on the red carpet and being at the Oscars.
Yes.
And already some incredible awards that have been given out. Did have to laugh at Dune's Greg Fraser landed his first Oscar for Best Cinematography, which is the movie everyone's been talking about.
Oh, I've seen it. Extraordinary.
Right. Is it?
Yeah. It was like space opera. Amazing.
He was, when he received his award, he was joking that he was happy his award was up early in the broadcast so that he could get out and get to the bar.
Oh, good man.
So big plans for him.
And interesting this year, of course, because two of the big films, the Jane Campion film, what is it, Dog? Life of the Dog? Whatever it's called.
The Power of the Dog.
And I think Coda are both made by streaming services rather than the traditional studios.
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up as well.
Yes, on Netflix. Natalie Barr is with. Hello, Nat.
Hi, guys.
How's it been so far on the red carpet?
Oh, my God. That is a whirlwind. It's so bizarre. It's so surreal. It's kind of exciting and kind of scary all at the same time.
Nat, we heard the little grab from Jamie Lee Curtis giving you some advice, but does one have to sort of fight for an interview or do they just bring the stars to you?
No. It is an absolute... a jungle out there. That's being kind.
Okay.
You have to elbow kick people, fight to the death. It's like nothing you've ever heard before. I was not prepared. I was warned, but there is nothing like that red carpet. It is the biggest, most prestigious, strange red carpet in the world. I was a rookie. I tried to tell people I was a rookie. Some people fell for it, and they felt sorry for me. Nicole Kidman, amazing, so friendly, so nice. People like Amy Schumer, I said, oh, I love your outfit. And she said, yeah, I know, right? And took off. Will Smith just looked at his watch and said, I have to go sit down. You know, you never know who's going to who's going to stop for you. So it's a bit of a free-for-all. I was in between two of the biggest Hollywood shows, E.T. and Access Hollywood. So I was trying to sort of muscle in on their power to actually get people. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Natalie, who was the biggest star that did stop for you? Was it Jamie Lee Curtis or was there bigger?
Jamie Lee Curtis, Nicole Kidman, Jason Momoa, Kevin Costner. Yeah.
Costner?
Kevin Costner, I've got to
ask, because I don't think I've seen him in much over the past, well, not since Waterworld anyway.
Once you get an invite, you get to keep coming back, Pete. When you're that big a name, you get to return.
Haven't you seen Yellowstone?
Okay, gotcha. I'm there.
But also he was presenting. So a lot of them are presenting awards. So they're big stars, but they might not be in anything at the moment that's on film, but they might be presenting an award.
Of course,
so,
yes.
Yeah, that's the other thing. A lot of them have people. There are so many people. I have nobody. I did have a producer. But they have so many people with clipboards and with bits of paper and bits of cardboard, and they're coming up saying, I've got so-and-so, would you like to speak to them? So some of them are like that, so you get a bit of warning. Some of them just appear and you're going, Jessica, and then they're just ignoring you. It's a bit scary.
Also, did they seem a bit excited too, Nat, because, you know, the last couple of years the awards have been weird. They've been Zooming them from all around the world and no one's really been hanging out. So good to all be back in the same venue.
Yeah. You know what it was? I usually cover, when I go away to cover things, it's usually serious news and often it's bad news. And to do something like this, everybody was happy. Mm. It was back at the Dolby Theatre, which it's been at for over 20 years. Last year it was relegated downtown at a train station and it was smaller. It was COVID-ridden. And this was just, everyone was excited that it was back at the theatre, but also everyone was just in a happy place. Matt, it was just not a serious, horrible news story.
No, it is. Welcome relief. But we have to ask the fashions. Who was best dressed on the carpet?
Well, there were so many. And just to see them up close, I was in a bit of awe over so many, I think. People like Lupita Nyong'o, she was in a beautiful gold gown. Mm-hmm. Nicole's was an amazing custom-made Armani gown that just, I don't know, she looked, you know, you hear that word ethereal,
yes,
and then you think, what does that mean? Then you see someone like her up close and you think, yeah, that would be her. It was sort of a dusty, greyish, bluish gown, and it's custom-made by Armani for her. And you think, yeah, I get it now. I get it.
I had one made by Red Spot.
just really quickly before we let you go, there was a whisper the Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky might make an appearance. Has that happened? And are you off to any after parties soon?
Look, I can't tell you that, but no, you'll have to stay tuned. Zelensky, that was Amy Schumer's apparently suggestion that he would Zoom in. So we'll have to watch the whole of the telecast to see whether that actually happens.
Giving best screenplay Oscar.
Well, originally an actor. Yeah. I mean, that's how he got the gig, right? And now he's just got maybe some bigger fish to fry.
Mm. All right, Nat, good on you. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Have fun.
Thank you, I will.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. But it's bloody awesome on a Barramundi.
Channel 7's Adrian Barish joins us. Just quickly, mate, before we get to obviously the Eagles and the Dockers over the weekend, how good was this?
He's done it so many times. 999 goals, Buddy Franklin. The legend becomes immortal.
1,000 goals, Barra. 1,000 goals.
Yeah, and how were the scenes, eh? The thousands of people rushing onto the ground. I loved the lady who took the chance to take her nan's ashes out there as well. Did you see that and spread them around while no one was looking? Or Chad Warner, the WA player, who actually booted the ball to Buddy to kick the winning goal. And then somehow he ended up outside the ground during the craziness. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He and his teammate Florence, they both ended up outside the ground and had to work their way back into the ground after taking 85 million selfies with people during the cold craziness, the longest quarter of all time. And I can tell you today, the ball that went through for the thousandth, how hard is it to say that, the thousandth goal is actually back with Buddy. The Alex Wheeler, the fellow who effectively stole it, I suppose you'd say, handed it back this morning, took it off Facebook Marketplace, where it's probably worth 200K, and brought it into the club today. They had to bribe him. They offered him some memorabilia and a free membership and a chance to train with the Swans and meet Buddy. But finally, the ball's back. But incredible scenes. Around the world, people have been... Did you guys think that was just remarkable?
For me, it was like it made Pat McAfee's show. So Pat McAfee is a huge bloke, like a huge media guy in the United States.
Yeah.
And for it to make his show, it was a hell of a moment. But that guy, mate, you talk about Alex Wheeler. We've got some audio here. This is him taking that screamer as the ball passed through the sticks. I've got the pill. I have to get out of here.
Sounds like it went to a deserving person.
Wilsey!
How's he actually trying to steal it? And his mate, Wilsey, don't use my name. Jeepers. Yeah, so it was a historic moment, and only six players have kicked over 1,000 goals. So well done to Buddy. West Australian boy from Dowran, went to Wesley College, played for Perth Footy Club, Victoria Park in the juniors. Just a great, great story. Huge weekend, though. The Eagles' replacements did great, didn't they? All 14 of them
incredible.
Flew the flag for West Coast. Wonderful to see, Matty, wasn't it? Just guys coming out of the waffle, five waffle guys just doing well. Declan Mountford, the Claremont captain, kicking a goal. Aaron Black from West Perth, Sandover medalist, played 3,000 games, and he's probably 32 or something, and just having the best time in their life. How good was it?
It was good. I mean, I know it's very early on and they performed admirably. They're now 0-2. What When do you get to a point in a season where you go, we're not finals bound, this is a rebuild, or whatever the word is that gets used a lot in sport?
Yeah, I think they'll wait to see what happens in the Derby this weekend. Mm. The Derby's on, can you believe it? The poor old... I was at Optus Stadium last night or yesterday, and gee, they were flat, the Dockers fans. I'm so sorry, great man, but
mate, you sort of let it go last weekend, third quarter fade out, and then you see another one yesterday, and you're like, oh God, I hope this isn't a trend.
It was very disappointing, but you got the Derby ahead, and maybe Monday and Fife come back. Yeah, who knows? I'm just thinking about Aaron Black, phys ed teacher at Bob Hawke College. He's about to walk into the school. He'll be like a rock star arriving in there, you know, with his hands up, waving to the kids after he kicked the goal for the Eagles. Great stories. Great son. Well done, Aaron Black.
Oh, great segment.
Nice. Good
Beautiful.
On you, Farrah. Thanks, mate. Good to hear from you. Have a great
Keep
week.
Keep your chin up. Keep your chin up, Pete. It's a little turn, buddy.
Thanks, mate. Yep, been saying that for 26 years, Farrah. Good on you. Now, I mentioned this a couple of times this morning. It was quite an extraordinary event. Friday night at the SCG. Buddy kicks 1,000 goals. He's kicked 1,000 goals. But this was the moment from it that I took away.
I have the pill. Get out of here.
So that's Alex Wheeler.
Wheelsy.
Now, he's taken an absolute screamer. He's marked the ball, and he's hightailed it out of there.
Yeah.
Because you can't hold that ball and stay in there because someone's going to come grab it.
No, absolutely.
The ball known colloquially as the pill.
The pill.
Yes.
He's gotten the pill.
He's got the pill.
And he's taken off. This morning, I wanted to hear from people as to what they took from an event. Piece of memorabilia, right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you were seeing one of your favourite rock bands or something. Somebody's thrown something out of the crowd. You managed to catch it. Maybe a big concert. Maybe some other event, who knows, sporting event maybe. But what have you pulled from that event? And it might be something that you're keeping a little secret as well.
Yes.
My friend's been spending years in her back shed trying to clone Bono from U2 from the drink bottle that she stole from him at a gig.
Is that right?
Had a little drink up on stage and put it down on the stage and she nabbed it.
Oh,
and
really?
And she still has his gross water.
Did he then do a 5-minute monologue about how thirsty I am up here?
It was a long time ago too. She's been a long-term fan for a long time. She's got that bottle still with his manky mouthwater in it.
I have a misdemeanor which I'm about to admit to, which also happened to be at the SCG. I went to an event there. The game wasn't on, but it was a cricket thing. And there was a life-size stand-up cutout of Dennis Lilly.
Yeah.
And as we left, I may have been, I've had a few sherbets. I grabbed it and just said to my mate, go, run, go, go.
So
I've got it.
He ran with the life size.
I ran with the life size.
Oh, you ran
Dennis
with it.
Silly. Yeah. Yeah. Which is still up in T shirt man's shed.
Oh.
Yeah. In his
oh,
bar.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Mm.
Well done, sir.
So I admit to it. Kids, stay in school.
Nicole in Byford, what'd you take?
Hey, I went to a Hanson concert in 2013 and Taylor Hanson threw out these little koala clippies. You know the ones that you clip onto your collar or your shirt?
Yes.
They threw a whole bunch of them out into the crowd and I caught one. And ever since 2013, it's been in a Ziploc bag in one of my drawers.
Oh, that's wow. It really?
Oh, Nicole, are you still a Hanson fan? Did you hear our interview with them recently?
Oh, I sure did. I also let Pete know that I was very excited to hear that he had spoken to them.
Yeah, slid into my DMs.
I have a theory that Hanson fans are the biggest music fans going around. They are extremely committed.
I'm very excited to hopefully hear that they're coming back this year. I've been to every concert that they've been to in Perth. So
Nicole, will that be the time that the koala comes out? So it's attached to you to go to the concert?
This has actually reminded me about the koala. So I think it's definitely needing a return. Yeah, for sure.
Koala.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good on you.
Throw it back at him. Yeah. And another news, Taylor Hanson has been blinded by a koala.
Mark and Cuda, what'd you keep?
G'day, mate. It's Mark here. We got the keep back 50 metre signs from the Claremont Speedway, our last event when it was held at Claremont Slip Showgrounds.
Oh.
So everyone started running up to the boundaries and pinching all the signs, and we managed to get one.
Oh, so keep 50 metres back. Where do you store that, Mark?
It's on a wall in a shed.
Oh, yeah, right.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Do you ever just sort of look at it and go, oh, I've got to get rid of this thing?
Yeah, well, I'm a knight. Someone offered us $500 for it.
Really?
So I dare say a Speedway fan would probably pay a pretty penny for it nowadays.
Well, if there's one thing we need more of, it's safety signs.
Yeah, geez.
Zach in Dawesville, what have you got for us?
Take on, guys.
Hey,
good on, mate.
I was at a football game last year and the ball got kicked behind the goals, went to take a mark, and I didn't come away with the ball, came away with a broken arm.
Whoa, what happened? Bad landing.
Yeah, went up for the mark and got pushed and fell down a couple of rows and, went up with a broken arm.
But was it worth it, Zach?
I mean, I got a finger on the ball, but...
Anything from the... Because we've heard, you know, this ball's gone back to the Swans this morning. Did you get anything? Did any of the clubs get in touch with you for a broken arm?
Nah.
That's all he took away. It was just his
really
arm in a swing.
Zach's just been banned from every ground ever since.
What I'm about to say is dumb, and I know it's dumb. I'm okay with that. It is what it is.
Sure.
There's a dumb noise that's waking me up every night, and it's waking up my partner as well. James and I both not sleeping very well because of this same noise, and it can happen night and day. Whenever you're sleeping, this is the noise that we're woken by. It's not the sounds of Perth.
Is it McGruff in his bed?
It is James and I turning in our own bed.
Oh, okay.
It really? Is the sound of our bed sheets that must be the noisiest bed sheets on the planet. Is this a thing? I had no idea that every time we turn over in bed, you barely feel the other person move. We've got this great mattress. We can't feel each other, but you can hear each other all the time. Like, where do I get soft bed sheets that don't make that sound?
Yeah, you got to get rid of the canvas sheets first.
Because
that's what they sound like. They sound like canvas.
Good quality sheets. I have like two pairs of sheets, right?
Yeah.
Two sets. Because I'm not like, I'm not fancy. I don't fill the cupboard with 40 different types. There's two quality.
Oh, 1,000's good.
Yeah, but
they still sound. Making the noise.
Oh, really?
Do you guys not have bed sheets that are noisy? Like, do you not hear this?
I haven't noticed it.
Oh, man.
I reckon when you go through having three kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's anything like that is, yeah.
The bed sheets not enough to wake you.
You could sleep through war.
What's the noise? What's the dumb noise that's waking you up?
Can I give you, this is, hear that ting?
Yeah, that's you whacking the microphone pole.
But times that by 10.
Yeah.
And what that is the metal bar that acts as the weight on our cafe blinds.
Oh, yeah.
Blowing in the wind.
Sure.
And hitting the metal things either side of them that hold them in place. And you'll wake up to that at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it is you have to get up and you have to go outside and you have to fix it. Otherwise, that's going to be all night.
Of course.
Drives you mental. Want to hear what is the dumb noise that's waking you?
I'm getting a text here from John. He's saying, this is the dumb thing that wakes me up every morning.
Next 94.5. Get that Perth feeling with Pete, Matt and Kim.
For me, it's this. Right?
What's that?
That's the sound of Florence the Dalmatian scratching on the door to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning every single time.
Oh, like clockwork.
Like clockwork. I literally go downstairs, look at the clock. I'm the only one that wakes up to it. Let her out. Let her back in again.
Oh, God.
Every morning.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a new thing. It's a new thing. So I don't know how to break that habit.
I'd be doggy dooring that in a heartbeat.
Well, but a doggy door for the size of that dog is like getting an archway.
Marie in Merengaroo, what is it?
Kimber, if I could afford linen, I'd have linen. But
I'm with you, right?
it's my dog licking her foot.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, Marie, this hits my soul. Ranger does this while we would just be in the living room. And that sound, this is the sound.
Yes.
That is the sound of the devil, Marie.
It's awful. And all I've got to do is go, you know, do that tap noise.
Yeah.
And she stops.
Oh, that's good.
She knows she's being heavily judged.
Oh, God.
That sound.
Beck. Hey, Beck.
Hey, how you going?
What's the sound?
It's my cat. He's a Burmese cat, and he scratches on the flyer wire to go in, and then he comes and he scratches to go out.
Oh,
yeah.
He's done it ever since he was 2 years old.
And that's the thing, Becca. It's the same with Florence. Like, it's great that they know to do that. Like, I'm glad that, you know, they can inform me when they need to go out.
Handy skill set.
Handy skills, but it does start to really get to be a pain in the bum.
Hey, Hayley, what have you got?
Hey, guys. Well, I live up in the bush area, so I feel like I have lots of different animals waking me up every night all the time.
Oh, what kind of animals are you dealing with?
Well, early in the morning, we have, like, peacocks, and they just have little pea chicks. So we have foxes, like, trying to get them, and then, like, the mum does this really disturbing call.
Oh, really?
What's the noise of a peacock, Hayley?
Oh, my God.
Do it.
Do it, Hayley.
Do it, Hayley.
Try create it for us.
Do it.
It's like a...
Okay, that would wake me up.
Maybe that's the fox. I don't know which one that is. But I feel like in the bedroom, there's, like, a fan as well. I feel like the roof fans are always making weird, rattly noises.
Oh,
or
yeah.
It might just be mine, but... Yeah.
So no, you're basically living in a David Attenborough documentary, aren't you?
Oh, honestly. Like, and then, like, there'll be the classic crickets, and, like, I'll be walking outside and I usually step on a frog all the time and, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus. You know, because when you go away for the weekend...
Bullsbrook was so rural.
But, you know, if you go away somewhere and you wake up like that, people are like, oh, look at us waking up to the birds and you can hear the nature. It's fun when you're on holidays. It's not fun when it's life.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes you so frustrated, yeah. It's not fun.
I hope you get some sleep soon, Hayley.
Yeah, me too. I'm tired.
He was Duxiffy's high school and worked as a brickie, a shop assistant, and at an abattoir before finding a career in comedy. What a man. Please welcome part of the Mix 94.5 family, Cusey.
Morning, Cusey.
Hey.
Good morning, legends. And now I was given an offer this morning. Is it too good to refuse? I'm not going to name drop, but I will tell you the name, and it's just a true story. So the treasurer of this nation, Josh Frydenberg, yes, has just called me to say that he wants me to come to the budget, which is tomorrow night.
To the announcing of the budget in Parliament?
And he's just telling me this on the phone. He does a speech, and he wants me to sit there alongside Aaron Molan, my radio co-host here in Sydney, and he wants us to sit there and watch him deliver the budget to the nation and also have dinner with him and the Prime Minister.
What?
Have you got something to offer, Hughesy? Have you been holding out on us?
Well, I don't know what I have to offer, so... but also, I don't know if I'm allowed to go because I've got to ask my wife whether I can go or not. Because Tuesday night I'm meant to drop my son off at his basketball train and pick him up, so I'd have to not do that.
What is he going to ask you? Hughesy, what did you think? How did you think I delivered it? What did you think about my fiscal stimulus? What's it for?
I don't know. Is he going to try some jokes? Am I meant to joke doctor the speech before he does it? I don't know. And I mean, you got to be show attention, I suppose. Yes. So you can't just drift off and I can't be, you know, on my phone just checking out my Instagram while he's up there. Or maybe I could go Instagram live while he's doing it.
Maybe.
You could. How do you know it's the real Josh Frydenberg? Maybe you're being scammed.
Yes.
We're going to end up in a foreign country with our bank accounts being stripped.
Look, Missing a kidney.
I have had a bit to do with Josh over the last couple of years. He comes to comedy shows of mine, so he's a fan. He is.
God, but he does want your feedback. No one asks you to come and see the show unless afterwards they want to know how you... And you've been in enough green rooms and enough foyers to know what that feels like.
I know. You've got to be positive. And can I just say, anyone who gets invited along to someone else's performance, afterwards you have to say, front foot, that was great. Whether it was or not, you have to say it was great. You just can't... You can't just... Sort of say, oh, how do you think you went? How do you think you went?
Maybe he's not sold many tickets. He's trying to paper the event.
Well, maybe he is. So anyway, should I go or not? What do you think?
Oh, yes. Totally. Oh, of course you have to go.
Oh, now you've got to organise someone to take your kid to basketball.
I know I do.
It's too much hassle, mate. Don't go.
Do I have to wear a suit or not? Is it a suit event or?
I would have thought so.
Maybe don't wear a suit. Maybe just because you're the man you are. Don't wear a suit.
Well, maybe I'll wear a flanny? Go wear a flanny.
Look, shows like ours will be looking for a distraction and something to talk about that is not the budget. So if you could do something and just play your part, really help us out.
Guys, I've been saying to you for a little while now that I've been feeling quite left out.
Mm.
But over the weekend, I joined the club. Don't stop
believing. What happened?
There is a fake Pete Corralli Facebook account trying to scam people, guys.
Oh, finally it happened. Well done, buddy. Joining the club. Well done.
My career choice is now valid.
See, it seems exciting, Pete, until you realise that there's someone's out there scamming all of our mixed family and our listeners and taking money from them. And I respond to possibly 20 messages a day from people going, are you scamming me? And me going, it's not me doing it, but yes, you're definitely replying to a scam.
The most ridiculous thing about this scam is that I got notified because of some of our great mix fam who were like, hey, this is appearing, this is happening, so on and so forth. And some of them on my behalf have actually gone out of their way to report it to Facebook.
Okay.
And I was getting notifications coming back from Facebook saying, nah, it's fine. Like, we don't think this is a scam.
Countless.
Like, this is,
I think mine's been reported over 100 times and they're still saying it doesn't go against community standards. There's 7 fake profiles of me now. 7.
Which one's your favourite?
They all suck. So don't click on any of them.
I love the fact that our mixed family know us all so well that they've not even bothered to continue with mine anymore. Because they just know that there's no way Dick Tinsky would have been able to organise that. No way!
Well, I mean, we could follow the Thai government solution that they've had to scamming, because obviously Facebook bites. Yeah. And so we can't really fix that. But the Thai government came up with this great idea. They said, well, let's raise awareness of these scams by telling all of the public this is what's happening and stop people being victims by creating a catchy little tune that we will release on CD.
I'm sorry, did you say CD?
It's on CD. A few people have questioned that, saying, is there any reason you couldn't have just put this online? We could have downloaded this via various apps.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And they went, no, it's got to be on CD. The song is literally named Don't Transfer, and two of their famous Thai country singers, Eid Pong Lang Sanon and Saon and Lamye Hai Thong Kam, have written this song, and the lyrics are spreading awareness of scammers, and it's just a catchy melody to remind you not to transfer money to anyone.
Lamye. He's Thailand's Kanye.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible. So that catchy song will stop you doing it.
Well, jingles have worked very well, haven't they? Slip, slop, slap. People do respond to advertising jingles quite well.
Oh, well, let's come up with one. That's all about don't click on Pete Kember and Matt's scam page.
That is a great idea.
But on behalf of the Thai people, kop kong krap. Thank you very much.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, kop kong krap.
I'm so nervous about him speaking different languages on air.
Gee, I hope that was right.
That was your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for St. John, WA. Safe 000 for emergencies.